us to ask. You bid us to knock. You say, come thirsty, and I will fill your cup. Come hungry, and I will give you food unto eternal life. So now we put aside the things of this world, this life, this realm. Oh, I'm asking for your help for all of us to enter into heaven, those places of heavenly places in Christ Jesus, places where you can touch our soul, places where you can feed us, and things that make a difference, eternal difference. Lord, we need you in so many ways, so many levels, and we just lift ourselves up. Help us, feed us, strengthen us, but give us your sight. Otherwise, we just get frustrated, Lord, in our own. We get worried. We're filled with fear instead of faith. We need your sight, your mind, your heart, Lord. So take over right now, is what we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. Oh, yes. Nice to see everybody. Russ, nice to see you, dear brother. Be able to make it. Okay. Now, last week we started. I wanted to make John 17 present tense. Because it is. So when we go through the things that he said there, okay, it is present tense fulfillment of that. So when he says, I'm going to give him my glory, which we haven't gotten to yet, but he's asking the Father for the glory. Okay, and then he says, I have glorified thee. Well, if he says, I have glorified thee in verse 4, why does he ask, glorify thy son? He says, I've already done it. I've already brought you glory. And then we know that he says, I manifested your name. Okay, bro, I'm going to ask you a question. Out of seven church ages, when was that name manifested? It went into the dark ages where they didn't even know his name, right? So when was the name, okay, verse 26, that name, well, verse 11, he were kept through that name. Okay. Verse 4, I have manifested thy name. Verse 26, I have declared thy name. When did he do that? He did it in this day. When did we know the name of God until this age? Okay. And he says, I will declare it. So what happens with that? Okay. Oh, well, now we know. That's so much more than that. There's a spiritual happening that God is trying to get through our heads to tell us you don't grasp the depth of my love for you and what I'm doing to fulfill my word in you. But look at the last half of verse 26. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. That what? Now, isn't that incredible? Would you ever put that together in your own mind and your own heart? You couldn't. There's no way. That the love whereby thou hast loved me may be in them.
has amado esté en ellos.
Now, Russ,
ahora, Russ,
if you declared a name,
si tú has declarado un
nombre, that the same love, would you ever connect that in your head? Not in 1,000 years.
¿Podrías tú conectar tú,
okay?
No, en mil años.
But here he's making a statement of truth,
una declaración de verdad,
and that truth has to become revelation in you and in me. So somehow, Lord, I know your name now.
Señor, yo conozco tu nombre ahora.
And it's so much more than a correction of how to be baptized. It's so much more than a correction from being Trinitarians to, okay, to the true revelation of God. It's connecting something when I'm immersed in that name and I know that name. God connects his love and says, think of this. That same love that I had, the same love that I displayed, okay? The same love that is in the Lord Jesus, who is God manifested in the flesh, is now in us. Now, we haven't connected that yet, but when you do, you're going to be flying. When you understand that his love is what he's gone through to give you that love, to show you how he loves you, to show you that I'm loving you the same as Son, how could you ever go through a day of worry? Worry. Preocupado. Yeah. Preocupado,
sí. Yes. Thank you. Preocupado.
Yeah. How could you go through a day of fear?
¿Cómo podría pasar a usted a través de un día de temor?
Okay. Jesus says, I am never alone.
Nunca estoy solo.
Right?
Correcto.
Because he's with me every second.
Porque él está conmigo cada
segundo. Oh, what's in the heart of the Son? In John, okay, he says, I'm never alone because I always do those things that please the Father. Oh, what's in your soul? What's in your heart? Who put it there? Why is it there? Huh? Do you understand? There's so many things working his love out to us. So my whole focus for today is finishing a few things that we started last week, the Omega Revelation. But I have another part here that hopefully we'll get into, the Omega Ministry, understanding God's Omega love. Okay? And that love is so connected to the Book of Redemption. It is so connected that what did he do, okay, to bring you to a place, I want to be one with you. Now, you might say, Peter, you might say to Brother Ron, you might say to
Brother,
he's my brother, I love him.
Él es mi hermano, lo amo.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, eso es bonito.
And we'll leave church. Oh, Ron's a nice guy.
Estamos en iglesia. Ron es una buena persona.
Yeah. ¿Sí? If Ron has a prayer request, I believe he'll ask for a prayer, and we'll pray for him. Okay?
Tiene una oración que pedir.
But how different is that?
¿Qué tan diferente es
that God saying, hey, you're a sinner, you're saved by grace, I sanctified you, justified you, I'm filling you with my Spirit, but that's not enough. I'm not satisfied with that. I am not satisfied until I become one with you. Okay? So here, you can't take that outside of the Book of Redemption, because if Jesus hadn't descended to open those seals, what did Brother Branham say? What would be our state? You would never go back to Adam. You would go on in this continuous state of faith and fear and failure and never have any hope of being changed out of this condition. Correct? So now, hey, I did something. You are not. Those chains are broken.
Esas cadenas están rotas.
Do you understand that? Do you understand the depth of his love for you? Because I'm bringing you back to this because of what I did. And I'm going to do it through revelation upon revelation upon revelation. And through that, one of these days, that revelation is going to come to a reality up here and in here. Okay? And I say, I am him. Adam was God in flesh. Look at how Brother Branham describes. He had to change from a Logos pillar of fire. And then he transformed into a little white cloud, right? And that white cloud was a more natural, because he's coming into natural. He had to come natural. He had to come into flesh. He had to come something out of that supernatural. And he said, there was Adam. Okay, what's he taking us back to? What is the book of redemption? So this whole expression of the depth of his love, okay, I will not be satisfied just saving you. I will not be satisfied with more than justifying you, sanctifying you, filling you with an anointing to do good things. That's good, but that's not enough until I become one. So John 17 is finally fulfilled in being fulfilled currently, right now, in this day. So that's my whole goal. Can we see this as a present tense book in the Bible that is now being fulfilled in us? John, making sense? You see that, brother? Everything wants to put things in the past. So here, we were looking at quite a long passage, several passages in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, because it's such a critical message, is it not? So we're talking about one becoming one. That's the climax of John 17. I'm doing this all. I'm manifesting myself. So here in this day, he's manifesting himself. To who? To you, the ones he gave me out of the world. Same thing. Then it was 12, now it's a many-membered bride that have eyes to see, ears to hear. And that manifestation couldn't have happened until this day. Right? How could it happen until Luke 17:30? Had to be fulfilled. Malachi 4 had to be fulfilled. So this oneness that he desperately wants to make, the fulfillment of his love is you and him one, you and him the same, you and him totally joined together. And this, you will know, okay, Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren, I'm one of those. I'm one of the brothers of Jesus. We came out of the same source. Okay? And even though he said, I will share my glory with no man, he says, I'm going to give them my glory. So if he's not giving his glory to another man, then we're not another man. Isn't that what the prophet said? The husband and the wife will be the self-same person. Right? So all of these mysteries, but when you read your Bible, and the prophet says this, he says the whole New Testament speaks of this hour. So when we read our Bible, the whole Old Testament is fulfilled in this hour. So when we're reading, we shouldn't be reading past tense anymore. When we're reading, we should be saying, ah, redemption. Open book, revelation. He's making me him. He's fulfilling the I keep saying this. Look what God went through to do this. And we're always worried, does he love me? Have I pleased him? Okay, but he's always telling us, look what he went through. Look at how he had to become flesh. Look how he had to come into a form and suffer. Look at how he had to be rejected. Look at how he had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to go through that. His love for you drove it to him. Drove him to it. Okay? So I'm trying to get us... We have first pull love. Brother Branham talks about that. Okay. It's necessary. We needed it. He still loves us that way. He proved it. But as he says in the message, it's in the... Oh, where is it? Church Age book. You know, we know that. You know, we know it in our heads. The proof of his election, love is election. We know that up here. We don't know that here yet. Okay? Because if we knew it here, we wouldn't get our all tied up in knots. Okay? If we knew it here, we would live different and react different. So, what I'm trying to do with this is try. Let's understand his love. Okay, into my notes. Do you have? Oh, bless you. Oh, that's part two. I am so sorry. See what he puts up with me. Oh yeah, that is. No, is that part? No, no, no. Omega Ministry, the other part. Because I got to finish that, brothers. Please tell Philip thank you for all he does for us. And he puts up with me. That first one that we didn't finish last week, we were going to do that first. Is it? Yeah. Oh, the Omega, but I didn't have part two, so I got confused. Well, you're dealing with an old guy here, you know, okay. Okay, just a couple quotes from there. We went to tea in Christ, the mystery of God, reiterating John 17. Okay, what is the whole end of the gospel? Oneness. Why did he die? To make that happen.
Para que eso pasara.
Okay, so here is in oh yes, I have to go back. Okay, where's that? I'm sorry. I am so sorry, you guys. If I was smart, then you could help me with this. Yeah, this paragraph 474, Philip. This is God's great mystery. So he's talking about oneness. There it is. We read it last week. What is God's love? What he's doing here? What is God's love? Read it out loud with me. This is God's great mystery of love. Yeah. And then, okay, God and man become one. What's the next three words? The whole thing. Okay, the whole thing of what? The whole thing of why I died. This is my purpose of everything that I've gone through to express the depth of my love. I'm not satisfied just saving you. Nestor, make sense? I want more. I'm not satisfied, okay, sanctifying you. I'm not satisfied filling you with my spirit. That's great, but now we got a road to go. I love you so much until I want you and me one. Right? John 17. And here it is. And it couldn't happen until after the seals. Something opened. God manifested. God had to come into a form. God had to come. And the same thing in verse 4 and 6 is what has happened to us in this day. I have manifested you, Father. I have manifested thy name to the people you gave me out of the world. To you, you see God manifested. To the others, they see a cranky old hillbilly, uneducated. So he's not manifesting, but to you, I'm manifesting myself to you. That's my love. Okay. So what is it? Can we accept it as this is how God is expressing his love to us in this day? Can we change our hearts to say, God, quicken this to me so I understand your love? I need to understand how you express it. Well, you don't understand. I got this need and this need. Yeah. Okay. Well, what about that? Come on. It's just like I said so many times. When he went from the first bull to the second, he didn't leave the first. When he went from the first to the second to the third has the second and the first with it. Right? Did I quit caring for you? Did I quit caring for your health? Did I quit caring for your well-being? No. But now you're mature enough, I can focus on more things. You with me? That's starting to make sense? Oh, so let's go on. Let's read the red. That's God's achievement. That's God's purpose. Okay? That's it. Then we go on, and he says, okay, I'm going to go on. Now, read that black 477, underline. Read it out. God expresses what? What kind of love? Eternal love. A love that can't change. It's always there. This is his eternal purpose. I can't be satisfied until we're one. Okay? Now look at he goes on. Okay? How important is John 17? How important is, okay, Father, I'm going to give them your glory that we might be one. Okay, John 14:20. So here he says it. No other church, no other sign, no other fellowship, no other government, no other testimony, no other, nothing. This is all I'm accepting. What does that tell you about the fulfilling of John 17? It's in this day. It's with a book of redemption. And God's not accepting anything else. What's he saying? Do you know what he's telling you? Do you know how much I love you? This is everything I died for. Everything I suffered for. I love you so much. I want me and you one. Otherwise, it's religion, creeds, other things. Okay. Are you with me? Okay. Look at that. God accepts nothing but that. So how important is this to him? And we wouldn't really know that until seals were open. Christ, the mystery of God, revealed is right after the seals. It's an extension of the seals. It's actually, absolutely. Go read paragraph 103, 4, 5. Okay, this is an extension of the seal. God accepts nothing else. No fellowship, no glory, no creed, no denomination, no, everything else is dead. Do you understand how much he loves you? He's doing this. He's approaching you personally to tell you this is the main thing, is me and you. One. Okay, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to... here we go. John 17 definitely speaks of this hour and is written for this hour. That last line, would you read it out loud with me? It is written for you. Yeah, it's for you. It's his heart to you. Okay. I'm going to go there, John 17. There's the second part. Okay. I'll try to get through. I want to get through just a couple things of his love. Okay. John 17. We've passed over this verse. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. He gives it. It's in his power. I have manifested your name to the men you gave me. Oh, open your Bibles, would you? Just open your Bibles to John 17. Just read a couple of verses. Okay. Let's go to John 17, verse 6. Thank you, dear Philip. Okay. Read it out loud with me, would you? I have manifested to name unto the men you gave out of the world. Thine they were, and you gavest me them. Go back. I want that one phrase. Out of the whole world he was manifesting, but he only really manifested it to those that could see. Okay? Is that the same today? God bless you, Sister Lenore. Thank you for saying that. It's true, isn't it? It's absolutely the truth. Okay, but look at this phrase here. You gave them me. Do you know what he's saying? I'm giving the bride the bridegroom. Isn't that beautiful? Lenore, I'm giving you your bridegroom. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? You gave us me. Right? And they have kept your word because they believe. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't that beautiful? How could have that ever happened? Did that happen in the first church age, second, third, fourth, fifth? Come on, you guys, sixth? When did it happen? There you go. It couldn't happen till this day. Okay. So now we're going back. I'm sorry. There we go, John 17. He manifests him to the men. He has power over all flesh. What? Russ, are you seeing Romans 4:16 yet? This is it. Okay? We've been over Romans 4:16 for a he has power over all flesh. So there's the whole world, but there's Josh out there and he's pounding nails, okay? And trying to get trim work to fit together. And in the middle of all that frustration, God says to Josh, Josh, you know I gave you me, myself. And something in Josh's soul, in the middle of all the turmoil, the busyness of the day and the work says, oh Lord. Josh, I want you to know I have power over all flesh. Look at the men around you. Look at the people. I'm giving that revelation to you. Open your Bibles again. Let's go to that. Romans 4:16. This is such an important scripture for us, for this day, for understanding the promises of God. Philip, you're amazing. Okay, Romans 4:16. Of everything we're talking about. Okay, what are we talking about? Justification by faith. Are we talking about more than that? Oh, so much more. Romans 4. Here, Janelle, he says, as David said, justified by faith, blessed is the man to the whom the Lord will not impute sin. Right? What did the prophet say to the bride in this day? God is not imputing your sin. How do you even respond to that? I'm a sinner. No, I'm not imputing your sin. And this is the promise. You're justified by your revelation. So here, in verse 16, here's the sum of all of that, what he's been saying. Therefore, it is of revelation, faith, that it might be by grace. What did Jesus say in John 17:2? That was given him power over flesh. I am going to get my promise to my kids. I am going to get the surety of what I am doing for them in the completeness of it, and not one of my kids will be missed. Grace. You with me? Here it is. Nestor, it's right there in the Bible, isn't it? Therefore it is a faith. That it might be by what? For what purpose? Here to the end. For that purpose. I got to make sure God is saying that that the promise might be sure to all my seed. There it is. That's John 17:2. You can't not get it because he's bringing it to you. Personally. Speaking into your soul. Giving you eyes to see and ears to hear. Let's read it out loud, please. Can we together? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end. The promise might be what? Sure. To whom? All the seed. Not only that which is of the law, but to that which is also of the faith of Abraham. Okay, thank you. Okay, John 17:2. So, did the prophet talk about? This is from Melchizedek. Sealed open. Remember your eyes. Now, how well does he know you? How well does he know you? There you go. Laura, what color eyes does Ron have? Yeah. He does. Remember your eyes, your stature, whatever you was, you were there in his thinking before at the beginning. Whatever that picture was, you are just the expression of that right here today. Isn't that amazing? Is that love? Is there election in love? Is there love in election? Okay, and after he thought it, he spoke it. And here you are, Natalie. Before the world, he saw you. Do everything. Okay. There is no way at all for you to ever be there if Okay, for he is the one. I was given him power over all flesh. Okay, now you remember we read in the scriptures, not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God. And that his predestination might stand true, he could choose. Look at this. This is John 17:2. God is sovereign in his choosing. Did you know that? God is sovereign. Who was back there to tell him a better way to make the world? Right? Who would dare tell him that he was running his business wrong? There you go. This is Romans 4:16. This is John 17:2. This is the word. Let's read it out loud. And the very, very word itself is sovereign. Even the revelation is sovereign. He reveals it to whom he will reveal. The very revelation itself is sovereign in God. And look what he says. That's how people pound at things and jump at things, hit at things, not knowing what they're doing. Yeah. Hey. He has power over all flesh, John 17:2. Romans 4:16. Is this scriptural? Yeah. Okay. It is only after the seven-sealed book of redemption is unsealed and open, now we know about the mystery of us. Okay? The mystery of you. The secret of our lives, where we came from, where we're going, why we see our God in his manifestations, how it is we hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is God's great mystery of love expressed. God and man become one to make us one with him. Now we can all say, this is the mystery of me. Okay. Yeah, we know that. Okay, let's go on. John 16. I'm trying to get to the second half. All right. He goes on and talks about how individual it is. And okay, I want to get to the next part. Here, Philip. Before we get to communion. I want us to understand his love. When you're partaking of these elements tonight, okay, the blood that was shed, the body that was broken, understanding God's omega love. Okay. I would like to drive home a very important point here. Important for seeing this time and age correctly. That point is understanding his love to us. How he expresses his love, how he demonstrates it. We do not understand that proof of his love is election. We do understand that. But I'd like to take it a bit further. I think there's still part of uncomprehension in all of us. I'm saying us, humans, okay? Because we're all in this place of God's working. So Malachi, okay, when Malachi says to the people, we know this scripture, they didn't understand his love. Okay? I don't think we do either. I think we get very tied up, and that's if you get into frustrations and your nerves are a wreck, okay, and you get filled with fear instead of faith, and you worry, that's it. I think we're humans, but he's working in us, and he's getting there, okay? So we know this, where he's the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Okay. They didn't understand his love. So much of that is going on. Okay, and what does the prophet say in the church age book? They thought love was parental care. Well, come on, you guys. Isn't love parental care? Huh? It is. But I think what he's trying to say is parental care in itself can take place in the publicans and the sinners. But that parental care itself will not accomplish what I need to accomplish to get to be one with you. We get stuck in that first pull. Love. And if things aren't going to according to our expectations, something's wrong. And I don't know if we'd ever say this. I don't think we'd say, Lord, where did you love us? You know? But I think the world says it every day.
Huh?
I don't think we do that. But what does he say? He takes him right to election. This is where Brother Brown, this is what is it? Okay. Wasn't Esau Jacob's brother? Okay. He takes him right to election. So there it is. Okay. That's from, this is from the church age, yeah. God said that his love was elective love, and I just have, you all know this passage, and I've known it for you. The proof of his love is election. Oh, come on. Would you read that next phrase? That no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact that you were chosen as so. What is he telling you? What do you mean, no matter what happened? Now, can you say that? Can I say that? No matter what happens? I don't think we're there yet. But I think he's working to bring us there. Okay, no matter what happens, I'm chosen to salvation, and that's your love. There's a big leap there, isn't there, brothers and sisters? There's a big jump. But it is a jump of revelation. But it's understanding this day. Okay? This is God's love expressed. I want to be one with you. Okay. Here. We're back to Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Let's take this love a bit further to the open book of redemption. He's bringing us together. Okay. He's making the head and the body one. Oh, come on, you guys. Let's take that beyond some knowledge. Let's take that. You take this to you and him. Okay. And you, where it says body, you put your name there. Okay? I, Rachel, must follow my head. Okay? As the wife follows the husband. But that Adam was not deceived. He walked out with Eve. Okay? You can say, we're the church. We're Eve. We were deceived. We were in the transgression. Or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth in the day of the Lord Jesus. But look at the beauty of these words. But he had to redeem her. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he's saying to you. Pam, I needed to redeem you. Okay? I needed to open that seven-sealed book. I needed to make it where I'm making you one with me. Do you see it? No, they didn't. Okay. Look what he says. It couldn't have happened then. Okay. It couldn't have happened then. John 17 is for this day. Romans 4:16 is for this day. All of these scriptures. What's he say? Redemption is going on. Now you see those seals? Okay. Here he says, Jesus was God's love and revelation. There you go. Love and revelation. That's what I wanted you to tie together. God's love today is expressed that he's revealing his word to you. You with me? I would like it expressed some other way. He does. Huh? Come on, you guys. Which one of you have been begging bread? Huh? Has he not taken care of you? Has he not healed you when you're sick? Hasn't he healed your discouraged heart? Hasn't he given you a reason and purpose for living now? Doesn't he keep you going when you don't have your own strength? He's there. Okay, but now he's saying, let me show you more of my love. God's love and revelation. To know to a predestinated seed. There you go. His revelation says to you, Micah, I've called you. That's what it says. Micah, I've called you. I've called you to myself. I called you for the purpose. I want to be one with you, John, right? Isn't this incredible? I mean, the scriptures all coming together, right? Now the fullness of the Godhead is made known. The secret of mystery is now revealed. God is manifested. God and man became one. Okay, I got just a few more minutes. Okay, where in the scripture? Okay, what have we said? Something inside of you recognizes eternal life in a non-eternal vessel. Right? Now, can you connect that, what he put in you, to recognize eternal life in a non-eternal vessel, this day, this message, and look what he says to his disciples. Okay? Right before he goes to Calvary. Okay. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time come when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs. But I will show you plainly of the Father. Okay? Is that today? And that day you shall ask in my name. And I will say not unto you, I'll pray the Father. Now this is critical. This is where Brother Branham comes, and it's 100% scriptural. So you read it out loud with me. Verse 27 by itself. For the Father himself loved you. What's the next word? Because election is there. Because election is inside of you. Because that gene seed inside of you recognizes me when I've come in a non-eternal vessel. Read that to your neighbors.
Huh?
When they're fighting against this word. How do you answer that? How do you... The Father himself loves you because... Because what? Because you love me, and what's the next? And you believe that I came out from God. There you go. The elect of God recognizes eternity in a non-eternal vessel. That's powerful. And you can't take the love of God away from that. It's revelation. It's seed. It's election. God loves you because you see, I came out from God. Huh? And you believed I came out from Him. I came from the Father. I'm in the world. And I'm going back to the Father. There it is. Okay. Then we end up. Because of that? Because the Father's love of you? You're going to have some third pole love. Because I'm going to have to trust you to go through. I'm changing. I can't be with you with parental care like I would a baby. Because you're no longer a baby. You have to grow up. Look at what he put those disciples, apostles through.
Huh?
Who had a comfortable life?
Huh?
Now look what he says. The Father loves you because you recognize this. You're my seed. You're my gene seed. I'm going to trust you with that revelation. Listen. That revelation that God placed in you to recognize eternity in a nun is going to be so strong, these things of this life can't take you down. That's what he's telling you. You will overcome them. They will not overcome you. Did you hear what I just said? Did that make sense? Huh? Because you have this in you and recognize, you will have tribulation. Okay? I'm not going to baby you from that. I can't. But you will overcome it. In the world, you'll have okay. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer even in your tribulation. Because you know he overcame and you're part of him. There we go. Okay, I'm just about done. Here we know Christ's mystery. Just the last line. What is his love language? Making love to his church, whispering secrets. There you go. Is that his love language in this day? And he's doing that? Okay. I'm going to finish. I just want to finish with this. This is from 1964. And we've read part of this, but this takes it. Now, remember a few weeks ago we read, and he says it so many times, Revelation 10, it was Christ coming. Okay? He said, now the only thing I'm waiting for the seventh seal to be identified as the coming of Christ. We don't think of that. But there's a love relationship that will strengthen you by getting that revelation and saying, oh, what is he doing? There's so many things about the seventh seal we can't understand. But we can understand what he says about it. That's all we got. We can't go by our own thinking, that's for sure. So here, along with that, I've lived since I was a little boy. My only achievement I've ever had is to see Jesus Christ's coming. Okay? So he's referring to Revelation 10, isn't he? Okay? The angel descended with his one foot on the... and had a little book open in his hand, right? My only achievement I've ever had is to see Christ coming. Look at, I gave my life for that purpose. And I'm still in the pulpit as an old man. I believe the same story. And the greatest thing I can think of is to see Christ coming from heavens to receive you. I'm going to ask you a question now. Everything that's happened in this day, Revelation 10:7 being fulfilled, 10:1 through 7, and if that was Christ coming, which he says it was, what if God is saying, you know what, Linnell, I came to receive you? And what's going in your heart in response to his word is proof. You're my daughter. I pulled you out, and I'm going to be one with you. I love you that much, and I'm not going to be satisfied until that is fulfilled. Isn't that beautiful? Huh? Think of that, Marianne, that he came in this day to receive me as his son. You as his daughter were in him. Okay, let's on the dot. Servers, would you come? You love him? I hope. Listen, he never leaves the first bowl, but he doesn't focus on it anymore. He always loves you. He loves everything. He will do everything to prove his love for you. All right? When they say, the world says, Brother Branham lost his anointing. Okay, go into those last tapes and listen to him. Your name is such and such. Here's sign of Messiah all over again. Proving, right? No, he didn't lose nothing. Okay. The focus changed. And the focus of his love. Can you accept my love that I'm speaking to your heart? Okay. And when he speaks to your heart and opens up his word, can you believe I'm here to receive you as my own? We're finishing up the whole thing. God and man one. Okay, brothers. There's an old song, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Does that sound something? Well, isn't it? And this that we're partaking of is just a symbol of that oneness taking place in our heart. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread.